You are listening to Iron and Wine, My Wife and I. Bonus episode 2, Attack of the EPs. Hey everybody, welcome back to Iron and Wine, My Wife and I, the podcast where normally my wife and I work our way through every Iron and Wine album in chronological order in an attempt to turn her into a genuine fan of Sam Beam, the artist behind Iron and Wine, just like myself. And I must say, it's working out just fine this far. But today she's not here, which means this is another bonus episode in which I fly solo. Bonus episodes are where I get to wander off in the corners of the Iron and Wine catalog and look outside of the main albums. Today we're talking about the EPs, at least some of the EPs that Iron and Wine has released through the years, specifically The Sea and the Rhythm, Woman King and Weed Garden. Now there are other EPs as well, but I'll get to them later. What I love about Iron and Wine EPs is that they can work in two completely different ways. Sometimes they hint at where Sam Beam is going next. So it's like sketches for the next era of the band, foreshadowing a bit the direction in which he's going. But sometimes they're more like an extension of the previous album, songs that are left over from those sessions, tracks that didn't quite fit on the main record but were still too good not to release. These three EPs really show both sides of that idea, and I'll elaborate on that a bit later. For each EP, I will give some context, pick my favorite track, and also highlight an alternate version of that track, because I love sharing that stuff and I love collecting that stuff as well. So let's start with the first EP. It's called The Sea and the Rhythm. It came out in 2003, shortly after The Creek Drank the Cradle, Iron and Wine's debut album, and it very much belongs to that same early home recording era of Iron and Wine. In fact, you could see this release as the end of that era, because next up is the Endless Number Days album, which is recorded in a proper studio with an actual producer. So I think this is like the last time Sam Beam releases stuff that's recorded this way. On the EP, everything still feels incredible, intimate and handmade. You can really hear some room noise, some tape hiss, some times the finger movement on the strings, little imperfections that make it feel so very human and intimate in a way. Here's the track that I selected from the EP. It's called Jesus the Mexican Boy. It's a bit of an Iron and Wine classic, I think. It has a lot of the elements that really make Iron and Wine so recognizable, at least in my ears. It's quiet, slightly mysterious. There's something cinematic about the lyrics. Let's have a listen.
Jesus the Mexican Boy, born in a truck on the 4th of July, gave me a card with a lady naked on the back, barefoot at night on the road, fireworks blooming above in the sky.
Oh yeah, it's so very dreamy. I think it's a great song. It has like this drifting quality where the vocal line almost floats over the guitar. I think it's really great. Now the alternate version that I want to highlight is a 2009 performance at the Triple Door in Seattle. And what I love about this version is how much the vocal melody changes. So there's quite a variation. Here's what that sounds like.
Jesus the Mexican boy, wearing a long desert trip on his tie. Lo and behold, he was standing under the welcome sign. Naked the Judas in me fell by the tracks, but he lifted me high. I will kiss him my head like a brother, but never asking why.
Yeah, you could hear Sam struggling with it just a bit, just a small hesitation. I don't know if it was about the lyrics or the chords or the fact that he, like I said, changed the vocal melody a bit on this version. I really love that Iron and Wine, a lot of times, instead of recreating the original exactly, they stretch the phrasing out, reshape parts of the melody sometimes, or use an entirely different arrangement. Now, I am going to sneak in another version, because this is a song that Sam has kept revisiting and turning inside out and upside down. And I have another great one lined up. Here's how the song sounded in 2011, played with a full band in the Buckhead Theatre.
Fearing he wouldn't approve, we made a lie that was feeble at best. Boarded a train bound for Vegas to marry secretly. He never wanted nothing, I remember. Baby,
yeah, I can listen to that forever. It really shows that Sam is always developing, trying out new things, revisiting his old work. I really appreciate that. So I couldn't help myself. I know I always say there's only one alternate version, but then hey, it's my podcast, and if I want to do two, I do two. Okay, so let's move on to 2005 and the Woman King EP, which I must admit is my favorite one of the lot. This EP really feels like a turning point to me. You can hear Iron and Wine expanding beyond the basic folk sound into something richer, stranger, more experimental. So you can hear more percussion, there's more groove, more layered instrumentation, more effects, even some distorted guitars in there. But still, I think it's recognizable as Iron and Wine. It's recorded in the same studio with the same band as the previous album, which was Our Endless Number Days. But I think the sound is very different. Sam later has said that the sleepy punk rocker in him loved that. I think he's referring to the distortion or fuzz pedals they've used on here. Although, compared to an actual punk rock record, this is nothing. Maybe some of you know that I also make the Nirvana podcast, a podcast about Nirvana. Now, there are some actual distorted guitars in there, as I'm sure you all know. So if you're interested in hearing me discuss the entire Nirvana catalog, also sharing live versions, demos, and the complete saga of Nirvana, just look for the Nirvana podcast. Anyway, back to Iron and Wine and the Woman King EP. I think in hindsight, this EP really feels like an important stepping stone toward the next album called The Shepherd's Dog. A few songs are left over from the Endless Number Days sessions, and a few songs are new. And in the book Love and Some Verses, which I would recommend everybody to buy and read, Sam explains a bit where the image on the cover of the EP comes from. It's a display case from his mother-in-law. He was in the house of his in-laws working on the new songs he wanted to put on this EP when he saw it. And he thought that this would be a nice cover image. Okay, so here's my favorite track, or well, at least I'm not quite sure if it's my favorite track, but here's at least the track that I picked from this EP to have a listen to. It's called Woman King.
Oh,
if you pay close attention, you can hear those distorted guitars in there on the background. But still, they are actually there. And I think people that knew Iron and Wine from the acoustic folk music, they were in for a surprise a little bit, especially when the next album kicked in. I really like this song. It feels more confident and expansive than his previous work. And I think the rhythm is like a bit hypnotic. Yeah, and lyrically, it's full of these biblical and symbolic images that Sam Beam does so well. Again, in the book, Love and Some Verses, he actually writes a bit about that. I've got the book right here on my lap, and I'd like to read to you guys what Sam wrote in it. I'd been playing with a bunch of biblical characters. Jezebel, Mary, Herod, Samson. The names are more a representation of an idea than a real person, but the similarity put a bow on a bunch of songs that weren't necessarily connected. Somehow, under the Woman King umbrella, they all felt of a piece. So, that's how we put this one together. Anyway, for the alternate version, I picked a live performance from a festival in Seattle in May of 2011. So, let's go. Yeah, talking about a different arrangement, right? And actually, when I was preparing this podcast, my wife was in the room. She didn't even recognize it as Iron and Wine. She said, "What's that?" So, I thought it was a very interesting take. I'm not sure if it's like the best take of this song, the best rendition, but I think it's very cool to hear that. You can take this song to a lot of places. Okay, now I have to admit as something. I'm going to cheat a little bit here again. Because Woman King is too good an EP to only pick one song. So I'm adding a bonus track, so to speak. This is Jezebel from the same EP. Who's seen Jezebel? She went walking where the cedars line the road. Her blouse on the ground where the dogs were hungry, roaming, saying, that was a Jezebel. Actually, I could have picked any song from this EP because there are only good songs on here. Evening on the Ground is not a great one. But I wanted to add this one because it actually may be one of the most underrated songs in the Iron and Wine catalog. Although I think a lot of fans really appreciate it. And it also pops up on live shows every now and then. As an alternate track, here's a version of Jezebel from 2013.
Who's seen Jezebel with a mountain last as long as I can wait like the dawn, how it takes to meet the day. Who's seen Jezebel? She was certainly the spark for all I've done. The window was wide, she could see the dogs come running, singing, wait, we swear we'll love you more and more.
gotta love that, right? I mean, come on. That's just great. Also, in the book that I already mentioned, Love and Some Verses, there's a handwritten lyric sheet of this song with some lines crossed out, but you can still read them. Like, who's seen a Jezebel? There's a tire track through the chain link by the road, a blouse on the ground, and two dogs that I don't know. That's a line that didn't make it to the song. And I thought it was very funny because, again, there's dogs in this song. Like we've mentioned before, apart from biblical figures, birds and cars, there's always a lot of dogs in the Iron and Wine lyrical universe, even though some of them are crossed out. Okay, so let's move on. And finally, we jump ahead to 2018 with the EP Weed Garden. And unlike Woman King, which really feels like a transition toward a new sound, Weed Garden feels more like a companion piece to Beast Epic, the album that came before it. And that makes sense because it's filled with songs that didn't make the cut for the album. So I'm very happy that they were released on this EP because Beast Epic is definitely one of my top three albums. So I was very happy to get a bit more from that flavor. And I think you really can tell that these songs come from the same creative period, recorded in the same way, arranged in the same way with the same people. So let's go to one of these tracks. It's called The Waves of Galveston.
So leave the waves of Galveston, but only if you can, cause it's the only place the Lone Star kind of offered you a hand. Your baby left you nothing but a dog she left for dead. You never knew you were a burden till it hit you on the head. It's too
Yeah, and for those of you keeping track, there was another dog in there. So personally, I think it deserves a spot on the album, but it's fine that we got it anyway. And the interesting thing is that's a pretty old song. I remember seeing Iron and Wine play on the Ghost on Ghost tour, and Sam announced this song as something the audience wouldn't know. But I had actually been listening to this exact song in the car on my way to the show. So I really felt like such a nerd then, or such a, yeah, fanboy. But yeah, so he had this song, Waves of Galveston, laying around for a couple of years until it finally found its place on the EP. So the alternate version I have lined up actually from a couple of years before it was released. Like I said, The EP was released in 2018, like I said, but this is a version of the same song in 2013, played by only two people. I think it was on a KUTX radio.
It's too bad, Texas leans to the least of us all, and says, if you can make the music, you can have the dance. If you can shoot the pistol, then you can wear the pants.
Yeah, and while Sam keeps playing, that brings us to an end of this episode. I think what really these EPs show is how productive Iron and Wine always has been as a project. It follows the development of the group, although it skips over Kiss Each Other Clean, the album which also had some nice and interesting B-sides that didn't make it onto an EP, but I'm sure you can find them if you go look for them. Biting Your Tail, for instance, that's a great one. And also the Ghost on Ghost album didn't have an EP before or right after it. But still, if you only listen to the EPs, you can hear the development of Sam Beam as an artist. And I think that's really great. So like I said, this episode is almost over. Thanks a lot for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure to subscribe to the podcast wherever you're listening. And if you know somebody who loves Iron and Wine or just beautiful folk music in general, please share the show with them. I'm making this purely out of love for Iron and Wine, and I would love to reach as many people with the same passion as me. So please share it if you think you know anybody who might be interested. And if you want to send in your thoughts, recommendations, or ask questions or whatever, you can always email the show at surewoodpodcast@gmail.com. That's a little bit odd, but it's surewoodpodcast@gmail.com. I don't know if I've mentioned this before, but I made that email address because my very first podcast was about the great TV show Robin of Sherwood. And I started doing other podcasts as well, and I didn't feel like creating new email addresses all the time. So that's why it's surewoodpodcast@gmail.com. Next time will be another solo bonus episode focused on the Iron and Wine collaborations with other artists, which means we'll finally get to talk about some fascinating side projects and guest appearances. So expect some Colexico and some Jessica Hoop in there, among others. I hope you tune in for that. Until then, thanks again for listening. Bye-bye. Take it away, Sam.